And as has already been said, welcome to Green Island Baptist Church. If you're a visitor or a guest, it's really good to see you here. I know there are some visitors with us. My name is Michael, I'm a pastor here, and it's a great privilege to be able to open God's Word to you this morning. Thanks to everyone who's had a part in our worship so far. We have been thinking about songs or the soundtrack to summer. So I don't know what your soundtrack is to this summer. Maybe you've been on holiday and you've been listening to some song on repeat, or maybe in your car journeys. But we've been working through some of the psalms that we find in Scripture and thinking about how these songs are appropriate at all times in our lives. We're going to read this morning one of the psalms that's most well known, maybe one of the passages of Scripture that's most well known. And it's the 23rd Psalm, if you want to open it up in your Bible or follow along on the screen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Surely my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Teenagers, if you want to follow along on the sheet, I hope it's okay for you, keep you interested in some way. I think there are still one or two sheets floating about, and there is chocolate for those who fill the sheet in, okay? So if you need some help from your parents, that's okay, but you'll be getting the chocolate, all right? So come and see me at the end if you fill your sheet in, and I'll get you some chocolate as you follow along. As I said last week, I'm glad you're here, and it's great that we have teenagers among us. You're really welcome, and I hope that you enjoy participating in worship. Songs have an ability to take us in a certain direction, don't they? They can take us back to an experience, to a holiday, or maybe even remind us of a person as we hear a song. There's maybe a song comes on the radio and you immediately look at the other person in the car and they know and you know what that song means. I can be transported to the halls of residence in Coleraine University when I hear Cher sing "Do You Believe in Life After Love?" Or when I hear Venga Boys, "We Like the Party." That's like the anthem or the theme tune in my first year in university, and the less we talk about that, the better. But there are songs that take us to certain places. Late 90s and early 2000s were a particularly bleak time for the music industry, obviously. Maybe for you it's a friend, or it's a holiday, or it's a car journey, and when you hear that song, it just evokes a memory of an experience. And couples now want to, you know, select the right song to walk down the aisle out of their wedding service from. "You Make My Dreams Come True." People are selecting different songs that kind of say, you know, today this could be the greatest day of my life. And they walk down the aisle thinking, this is the song that we want to associate with our day. And then the other kind of anthem or song that people select is the ring walk music. You know, boxers or UFC fighters or whatever, you know, they're selecting the ring walk music, and they're maybe playing, you know, "I Get Knocked Down, But I Get Up Again." And the music needs to match the occasion. The music needs to be in sync with what's going on. And today, as we look at one of the most well-known passages of Scripture, and we hear these words, "The Lord is my shepherd," it very often takes our minds to the end of life and maybe to a funeral service or something like that. But I don't want us to file the 23rd Psalm away for that period of life only. While it is particularly powerful in the face of death, the 23rd Psalm is particularly powerful in every single stage of life. For every occasion, no matter who you are, no matter what life is like right now, God speaks to us through his word in the 23rd Psalm. It's got something to say to you today. No matter who you are, no matter what's going on, the 23rd Psalm is for you. And the reason that I can say that is because verse 6 says, gives us information about how God is relevant or how God is with us all the days of my life. Good days and bad days. Leg day and rest day. Pay day and payment day. And Karen Carpenter sang, rainy days and Mondays always get me down. And so the 23rd Psalm is relevant not just as we approach the end of life, but also right now, whatever your circumstances are. Regardless of what your circumstances are, there's a song to sing to God. What if you were to know that today? That regardless of what's going on in your life right now, there is a song that you can offer in worship and praise to God. And you might say, well, Michael, you don't know my circumstances because I'm not in the mood for singing. What's going on in my life does not evoke a song. What if there was no change in your family situation? What if there's no change in your health condition? What if there was no change in your financial situation or your work situation? What if the constraints that are upon your life right now remained the same? Is it still possible to sing? What if your friends still had unrealistic expectations of you? Could you still sing to God? I want to show you this morning from the 23rd Psalm that this is a song to sing on all days, every day of your life, because the shepherd, first of all, leads. The shepherd leads. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me. Beside still waters, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. David prays this prayer, or maybe sings this song. We know he's musical, and so he sings this song. And he sings it as the king, or the leader, or the shepherd of Israel. And it's public information, it's out there, so maybe he sang it out loud, maybe he prayed it out loud, because we have access to it now. And the people who would have heard David sing this song saw David as their shepherd. David was the leader of Israel. When he was given this responsibility, we read in 2 Samuel 5 verse 2, the Lord said to you, you shall be shepherd of my people Israel. You shall be prince over Israel. And then Psalm 78, we read that the Lord chose David to shepherd Jacob, his people. And so for the people who are listening to David sing, maybe he gets out his acoustic guitar in the acoustic cafe and sings, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. And they're thinking, you're the shepherd. And David wants Israel to know that while they look to him as shepherd, he has a shepherd. He is an under shepherd. While he has a responsibility to lead Israel, and while he is viewed ultimately by them as a leader, he sees himself as a follower. My identity is follower first. I've got someone to follow. I've got someone who leads me. The Lord is my shepherd. And the future of Israel was bound up in, or tied up in, how the king acted, how the king got on. If the king succeeded, the nation would succeed. If the king failed, then the nation would fail. There would be consequences. And the encouraging news that came to Israel through David is that their king has a shepherd. Shepherd also has a shepherd. Their leader was also a follower, and the one that he followed wasn't going anywhere. He wouldn't allow his flock to get lost because he'd be with them at all points of their life. In fact, David's shepherd had access to all the resources needed for life. So David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Hey, he's going to look after me.
He's got all the resources I need for every experience that I find myself in. David knew that the shepherd would make provision for him, I shall not want. David knew that the shepherd would give him direction. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness. David knew that the shepherd would give him protection. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And God does all this for his own glory. For the fame of God's name, he leads David. This is the guarantee that God will deliver on his promise. This is the guarantee that God will care for David and David's people. Because God's own reputation, his own name is tied up in how he cares for his people. It reflects upon God. It reflects upon the shepherd how the sheep are cared for. They won't get lost. David says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. His own name. His own reputation. You see, God is for God. God aims at his glory. And so he created you, formed you, made you, and the purpose of your existence and my existence is not for me to write my own story. Not for you to be famous, or to be popular, or to be well, or for circumstances to go your way. God created you to bring glory to his name. And once you start to realize that, then when life doesn't go your way, you can remember, I'm not here for life to go my way. I'm here for the purposes of God, to bring glory and honor to his name. And God's reputation, his name, is tied up in how he leads you and cares for you and tends to you. J.D. Greer says this, and I think it's brilliant. He saved me for his purposes, which are far more important than my own, at the cost of his own blood, which is far more than anything I have invested in myself. Think about it. God's son Jesus spilt his blood to rescue you, to redeem you, poured out his life, to wipe away your sin, to give you hope and a future. And God's not going to waste the blood of his own son. He's going to fulfill his purposes. And so you might sit here this morning thinking, my life is out of control. Things are not as they should be. Maybe you feel a bit lost. Maybe you're here in person, or maybe you're watching online at home and you feel, I'm a bit lost. Things aren't going according to plan. This is not the path you anticipated being on at this stage in your life. Life is taking a direction that you weren't planning for. And you're asking yourself, how can this be the right path for me? Have I made foolish choices? Have I done something stupid? Am I in a location that's out of bounds? When I finished up at Carnmoney, one of the elders wanted to take me out for a game of golf. I haven't played golf in about 20 years. And I said, oh yeah, it'd be really good. So we went along to Hilton Temple Patrick, and everyone's like, you know, got the proper gear and playing super golf. And I'm like, I should be okay. I have played this before, but you wouldn't have known it by the way I played that day. Okay, there's a lake there that I was really familiar with, and long grass. There's really lots of long grass at Hilton Temple Patrick. Well, the ball that I was using found it very easily, and I was always out of bounds. I was like, oh, I need to drop the ball and maybe just drop it over there somewhere. And maybe you feel like you've strayed out of bounds. You're like, I'm not even on the proper course. I lost about 6 balls that day. But you're not out of bounds with the Good Shepherd. He will not lose you. Just because the ground underfoot is rocky and hard, or maybe the grass is long, and you're thinking, this is not where I want to be right now. If you think about the context in which David was a shepherd, it was a hot country, it was dry, it was arid, it was a pretty bleak landscape, and water and green grass are not easily found. They're not readily available. And so the shepherd would have to take the sheep on long journeys from one pasture to another. And the sheep would potentially be confused as they walk over rough ground. It's rocky. There were steep hills to climb and low valleys to go through. And writing about this, one person who knows a bit about shepherding says, even though the ground is rough and there is no water here, still the shepherd leads on. The sheep don't know where they are going, but the shepherd does. He is a good pastor in mind. And not a single step of the journey is wasted. He leads them by straight paths, and so it is with you. We look back and say, why couldn't I have stayed? Why couldn't I have stayed where I was? Why are you leading me here? I'm thirsty and there's no water. And still our shepherd leads on because he knows where he's going. He has a purpose and a plan for your life. Maybe you know this already, but if you're a skier, but I've never skied. I can't even play football without damaging my knee, so I'm not going to even attempt to ski. But some people get caught up in an avalanche and they try and dig their way out themselves. What happens is they get totally overcome by snow. And when they try and dig themselves out, they actually dig in the wrong direction. Because they don't know which way is up. And instead of making matters better for themselves as they try to rescue themselves, they're digging themselves into a deeper hole. They make matters worse. And when we try to rescue ourselves, we try to redeem ourselves, we try to make life for ourselves, we end up just digging a deeper hole. We need a rescuer pull us out to redeem us. Our ways are not God's ways, and that's a good thing. Will you let him rescue you? Will you let him lead you today? Will you say, God, this is not what I would choose for my life. This act of obedience is really costly. Obeying you is going to be difficult and hard. Trusting you is not my instinct, but I'm going to trust you. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. His name depends on it. The name of Jesus Christ depends on how he leads you. Later on in the psalm, we discover that the shepherd has a rod and a staff, basically like a club to ward off any attackers, any wild animals. And a staff, a big, long stick. Do you ever see people like walking around Green Island? See them doing a loop down Station Road and up Trippers Lane and see people walking? You see people walking all the time along the top road. And do you ever see people walking with poles? Not too frequent around Green Island, but you know, through Knoxdale Park. There's nobody just like out for a 20-minute stroll with the big poles, generally. Maybe you do and you need to introduce yourself to me and I'll pray for you. But if you have those poles or you see people with poles, it's usually in the morns. It's usually like Cave Hill or it's some kind of, this is indicating I'm a serious walker. If you have the poles, it's like you're not just out for a stroll. I am a walker. And I mean business. And I'm in this for the long haul. And so the shepherd has a staff because it's going to be a long journey. And he's serious about it. And he's not going anywhere. He has a staff because he's going to stick with you no matter how long this journey takes. He doesn't finish early on a Friday or take bank holidays off. The shepherd is a 24/7 job. So to be a Christian, if you're not yet a Christian, to be a Christian, all you need is need. All you need is to acknowledge that you can't lead your own life and you need someone to lead you, and the shepherd will lead you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Do you have needs this morning? A need to be right before God. A need to believe that even though life is tough right now, that there's hope in the future. Then there's a shepherd who can lead you, who can direct you, who's in it for the long haul. He's got a club. He's got a rod to beat off all evil. And he's got a staff because he's going to walk with you all the days of your life. Again, I read this comment and it was of J.D. Greer saying the same thing. The Christian life is not a series of spine-tingling experiences. inner voices or burning bushes, there are times when we must walk through dark, silent valleys by faith alone. Not feeling the spine tingling Christianity right now, is life just a bit mundane? Do you wish it was a bit more exciting? Do you wish that God felt closer? David is comforted by the shepherd's rod and the shepherd's staff. There will be times, hopefully, where you sense God's presence really keenly in your own life, where it is exciting and spine-tingling, and we need to have a felt sense of the presence of God. It's not okay just to go through the whole of your Christian life with no sense of God's presence. We need that. But if you're in a period right now where it seems like God is not present, know that he's in it for the long haul. I heard that sometimes, you know, a shepherd would go around the corner and the sheep would wonder where he is, and he would actually bang the rod against the staff. So you can't see me, but you can hear me. And the sheep would follow. And so if you want to hear from God, you want to know God with you, when you read his word out loud and hear his voice in your home or in your workplace, as you park your car before you go into work, as you commute, when you get your phone out and read God's word, to know that he's with you even when it doesn't feel like it. You see, sheep are really stupid, and the staff would need to be used to hook the sheep and pull them back from the cliff edge. Left to their own devices, they'll wander into danger, and so will we. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger, bought me with his precious blood. He's a rescuer. And he loves you. The shepherd leads. Will you surrender to his leadership this morning? Will you trust him? Even though this is not the path that you would have chosen, even though this is not the road that you anticipated being on, will you trust him to lead you? That you're not too far gone? Will you surrender your life to him today? Here's something you could do. You could read the 23rd Psalm before you go to bed at night, or before you head out the door in the morning. As you have your breakfast, just read it every day this week. Say, lead me, God, lead me into this day. Help me to trust you. Help me to obey you. Help me to honor you in the day ahead. The shepherd leads, but the shepherd also lives. The shepherd also lives. George Ezra could be referring to the first part of this psalm when he sings about the green, green grass and the blue, blue sky. Right? That's what we talk about in the first part of the psalm. And then the next few lines of George Ezra's song talk about, I hope you throw a party on the day that I die. And to be honest, I don't like the flippancy. And the way that he speaks about death is if he just thought we just have a party. And it's not just George Ezra, there's lots of people. He's not the only one in our world who trivializes death and diminishes it and tries to downplay it. It's not unusual for people to request upbeat songs and can everyone wear bright colours and can we, you know, just let's not be sad about this. Let's just like, whoa, sweep over it. Can we read this poem where it says, death, nothing at all? I've just slipped into the next room. No, we can't read that. Because death is serious. It's real. And we must not trivialize it or talk about parties on the day that we die. Death is sad. It's difficult. So I cannot understand why George Ezra is saying, let's just have a party. Why would you do that? Human life is precious from beginning to end. It's precious in the sight of God. However, if we read through Psalm 23, God does promise kind of a party, a feast, a table. Not for those who are left behind because it's sad, but for those who pass into his presence, who dwell in the house of the Lord forever, there is a table spread in the presence of our enemies to feast and enjoy, and we're in the home of God. God is present. Yes, the feast will be good. Yes, the party will be good. Yes, whatever is prepared for us will be brilliant. But the main thing about when we die is that we get to be with Christ, which is better by far. There will be celebrations for those who enter the presence of God, but I don't think we should just be trivializing death here on earth. Let's not just go to the nearest pub and drown our sorrows or diminish what's just happened. We need to feel our frailty and weakness. It will make the hope of the 23rd Psalm all the more real as we discover our human frailty. There's a lasting promise in these words that have unique power to minister to us, and we as Christians are so privileged that we have access to this word, because nobody else in the world has this. No other world religion, no other club or society, nobody else that you rub shoulders with will have this hope or this promise unless they know Jesus Christ. And so I know that there are times you are embarrassed about being a Christian. I know there are times when you feel awkward and ashamed. I know there are times you probably feel naive and foolish that you even trust in Jesus. But he alone has conquered death. He alone has defeated the grave. And so you have a unique piece of confidence that is available to you that no one else has access to. And so Rick Astley might sing, "Never Gonna Give You Up," "Never Gonna Let You Down," "Never Gonna Run Around and Desert You," but it's simply not true, Rick. You will. You will disappoint me. You will give me up. You will desert me. You will let me down. You're human. You won't go. Rick Astley is subject to traffic jams, cancelled flights, coronavirus. He needs to sleep. There'll be times he won't be there because he's sleeping. You get held up. Stuff like this happens to you and me, and we're human, we're limited. We will disappoint each other over and over and over again. You enter into any kind of relationship with any other human being, a friendship, a marriage, you have children, whatever it is, and they will let you down. Your kids will test your patience to the limit. He's not even listening to me. You love them dearly, and you're so grateful that God has been gracious to give you children, but you must not turn them into your God. You must not derive your identity from their performance. It will crush them. You must liberate your children to know that they're good, but they're not God. We don't do Yes Day for our kids, even though there's a film about it and talk about, you know, just never say no. We need to say no, because our kids are stupid. Foolish, like sheep, they go astray. Left to their own devices, they wouldn't have a clue. Children will disappoint you, your husband will disappoint you, your wife will disappoint you, your parents will disappoint you. Every person you set your eyes on will let you down. God created you for his own glory. You were made for him. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. I know, he holds a future. And life is worth a living just because he lives. He's never going to give you up. Never going to let you down. He is trustworthy at all times. In the face of uncertainty, David, the shepherd of Israel, knew the greater shepherd, the Lord Jesus, would lead him home. He will dwell with God forever. And all who belong to Jesus, God's Son, get to experience the life of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the strength of Jesus, in the face of everything that comes our way. All the days of your life. And so Jesus says at the grave of his friend Lazarus, "I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Death is not the end for those who trust in Jesus, because death is not the end for Jesus. He's our only hope in life and death. That's the kind of security you and I need for the week ahead. It's the kind of security that we need every single day. Nothing's going to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing can break you away from that love. Not a redundancy. Not a diagnosis. Not a breakup. Not a disappointment of any kind. Not singleness. Not sin, not shame, no guilt in life, no power, No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Nothing. That's how secure you are this morning. Because you've got a good shepherd who lives and will never stop living. He's eternal. Jesus passed through the valley of the shadow of death, and it wasn't the end of him, so it's not the end for you if you place your trust in him. Stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. Dare not trust your own. You're trying to dig your way to safety this morning. You're trying to find your own way out. You're trying to scramble around to rescue yourself. Could it be that you're going the wrong way? Could it be that your own actions are actually destructive, and what you need to do is surrender to the leadership and life of the Good Shepherd who loves you? Our only hope is in Jesus. Just as we close this morning, in a children's Bible or children's book that we read to our kids, it talks about the lostness and confusion that we experience in everyday life, and it interprets how the gospel of Jesus Christ makes a difference by telling this story, and I think it's really good. You've maybe heard it before. When a riverboat goes up a hill, it navigates through a lock, which is basically a staircase for boats. The boat enters a sealed chamber. Gradually, the water is poured in and rises until the boat is up at the level of the river ahead. The gates open and the boat continues on. But from the boat entering the lock, you can't see the river ahead. It looks like a dead end, just as the water fills. Looks like you've reached the dead end. And the water fills. And the Bible says we cannot see everything God is doing in our lives either. But what looks like a dead end is really God lifting us up. In your dead end this morning, in your disappointment, in your failure, in your fear, what looks like a dead end is actually God lifting you up.